Father, we thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time to gather together. It's our first gathering here on Walking with God this year. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for those who will be joining later. Thank you, Lord, for those that may listen into the replays, listen to the replays later on. We just thank you for all that you've done for us last year. We thank you for the new year ahead. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Now that we have come to the table of the Lord, the Bible says, ye cannot eat of the table of the Lord and the table of devils. And so, Lord, we have no part, and the devil will have no part of our ministration today of the word of the Lord that will be released. So therefore, we pray and declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light, gives understanding to this simple. Even so now, let that light shine our hearts. And we need to hear from you, Lord. Speak, for your servants are listening. Your children are listening. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we thank everyone that joined us for consecration as we closed out last year. And the Lord did actually inspire many things in my heart for 2026 and beyond. And we'll be talking about that as the year goes along. Today, just want to speak to you for a little bit on 2026. It's a new year that brings new levels and new horizons. First, I'm going to talk about levels. Then I'm going to talk about horizons. Levels, you know, if you were here with us in the consecration time that we had last year, to close out the year, at the end of the year, you would have noticed the direction in which God was taking us. It was more about being consumed about the things of God, how we can concentrate on Him, how I can be more aligned with Him, how I could be more like Him. It wasn't so much about what we could get, but how much more of Him we could have and experience in our lives. And so the first level that I want to talk about is spiritual levels. Many of us are not new to the kingdom or new to the things of the Lord. What is new is what we decide to make it new. I mean, God loves new things all the time. Say, behold, I make all things new. Even at the end, He was still making things. And God makes new things every day. Maybe we don't think of it. We just take it for granted. Every day is a new day. Now, not to God, but to us. He makes it new for us. You know, to God, there is no day or night. It's all the same. But He makes it new for us every day. So, we do have great things from the Lord, new things to look forward to. And you know, part of the reason why we have night and day is, you know, so that we look forward to a new day. And God gives us that, you know, every day, every single day. But I want to read to you a lesson here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 47. We've alluded to this towards the end of the year, and in the past we've spoken about it. But I want to read on new levels that the Lord is taking us to this year. It's a determination that you have to make. You know, at a new year such as this, people make all kinds of new year resolutions. I don't. I don't like to make resolutions. But, you know, people do. And it's good. It's a good thing. You know, if you can keep it. But here is a story that may help you if you are making resolution on what resolutions you should make when it comes to spiritual things and the things of the Lord. You know, this whole chapter, powerful stuff. Afterward, he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold. I'm reading Ezekiel 47. Under the threshold of the house eastward, but the front, the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under the right side, you know, and at the south of the altar. So it's just describing where he was at. Then brought he me out of the gate northward, about the way unto the other gate, by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, the waters ran out on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 8,000 cubits. So there was somebody with him that was dealing with him in these visions and so on. And he brought me through the waters. And behold, the waters were to the ankles. So yeah, let's begin to see the progression here. And we'll see where it all ends at the end. So when he was there before he got into the waters, you might think of it as, you know, just standing on the banks of the river or whatever it was that he was looking at. Then this man measured 1,000 cubits and into the water, that is, and said, wow, he looked at, said, like, come along with me. And in this experience, when he went 1,000 cubits, it was like the waters were at the ankles. Now, I looked up the definition of cubit. It's about 18 inches, about 1.5 feet, you know. So when you get 1,000 of those, it'll be like 1,500 feet. So he said, the Lord, showing him this vision, I think it was the angel of the Lord that he was walking with, took him in. The waters were to the ankles. I want you to just visualize it as you go along, you know. And that was their first, you might call it, first level. So, then, did he stop there? No. And then, we continue in the reading of the story. He said, again, you know, he measured some more. Another 1,000. They brought me through the waters. And the waters this time are to the knees. So it looks like each time the farther they got into these waters, the deeper it was, or the deeper it was in it. At the ankle level, now it down to the knee, up to the knees. Again, he measured another 1,000, brought me to through the waters. Now, each time it's going along in this experience, the waters are now up to the loins. Afterward, he measured another 1,000. So, 4 times now he has measured. So, we see about 4,000 feet or so. I mean, 4,000, you know, times, you know, 15, times 1.5. feet, you know, so you look about 6,000 feet there. That's why a mile is about, I think, 5,280 feet or so, they say. So by the time he got there, now this water at this level, the thing had completely covered his head. He could not, previously he was wading in the water, wade along, just, you know, now you can't wade in this water. It's too deep. So he had to swim the rest of the way. Say, waters were raising waters to swim in that could not be passed over. You could not walk through this now. So completely immersed in the water. And he had to swim to the other side. So now I brought him to the other side and said, well, brought him back to return to the brink of the river. And then he asked him a question. You know, what? Let's review what you have seen. What has thou seen? He asked him. Have you seen this? He said, well, yeah, I saw it. But he was thinking in his heart, what did he mean? So he said unto him, these waters issue out toward the east country and all of that. It's going to tell him what to be. But here is the one I want to tell you. It shall come to pass. Now, you know, at the end of all that experience of going deeper into these rivers, whatever they meant, you know, at the end of it all, it says, it shall come to pass that every living thing which moveth whithersoever this river shall come, shall leave. And there shall be a great multitude, a very great multitude of fish. Because these waters shall come together, you know, when they come there, and they shall all be healed. Everything that, wherever these waters shall come, shall be healed. Be great multitude of fish. Well, that sounds to me like something powerful. More like a spiritual thing. One time Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And we're looking for, you know, the salvation, righteousness of the Lord to spring forth more so this year. But we got to walk with God in order to do it. Work as in partner with him, but also walk as in move along with him. So we can't stand at the brink of the river. At the brink of the river, you got to jump right in for 2026. And when you jump in, well, you know, there's a lot of people that have gone through stages like this, but we give up or we feel that we have arrived at different parts. Some people are actually content to have the waters at their ankle level. Remember, we're talking about levels. They're content. How is it? Well, we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And most people don't even know what they are praying for when they are praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, people just tell them, yeah, you know, receive the Holy Ghost and this and this. So, okay, so pray. But we're focused, we're praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit on speaking with tongues. That's what most people are praying for baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what they are focused on. And so once they speak with tongues, they assume that they have arrived. You know, some people pray for months or even years. And in their mind, they're praying the Lord to give them, they call it prayer language. I don't know what they call it. They say, well, I want to be able to speak with tongues. And so they're so focused. Well, they speak with tongues, but that's about all. Because that's where they stop. Now, Jesus himself promised that all believers will speak with new tongues. Yeah? The sign shall follow them that believe. Yeah? They will speak with new tongues. And that's a promise. But what else did he promise? He wasn't even talking about Holy Ghost when he was saying that. He was just talking. You know. But here's what he spoke about when he spoke about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16, he spoke many things point blank about when the Holy Spirit comes, what he will do. In none of those places that he even talked about tongues. He said, well, he's the comforter. He's the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. All those things, you know, that he will do. Now, in Acts chapter 1, he did speak about when he received the Holy Spirit. And also Luke 24, he spoke about it. In Luke 24, he said, look, verse 49, you know, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you receive the promise you have heard of me, which is basically, you know, the power from on high, he called it. He said to them, I send you the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So You can see when he's talking now about the Holy Spirit, he's talking about power. It's not exactly speaking with tongues. In the book of Acts chapter 1, when he's about to be received up, you know, the disciples asked him a question. He said, "What will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel?" And so forth. Because, you know, say, hey, you taught us to preach the kingdom. You sent us out to preach the kingdom. I mean, I'll be talking about kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. So, is this it? Are we there? Jesus said, look, don't worry about that. The things that God has kept in his hands, don't you worry. Here's what you need to know, though. He said, but you shall receive power. See, again, he's talking about power. After that, the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you will be empowered to be my witnesses. Yeah, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Make you a much more effective witness. Power to live above sin and all these things. And he said, you'll be witnesses unto me. Okay. And we fast forward to Acts chapter 2. You know, and then we see that when the Holy Spirit did actually fall, they did speak with tongues. So people jump to the conclusion that, well, when you are praying for the Holy Spirit, the end result will be to speak with tongues. Ladies and gentlemen, that's only the beginning. You know, it's like ankle deep water. You speak with tongues. You know, so we speak with tongues, but there is no power. A lot of people speak with tongues, but they are still not an effective witness for Christ. They're still timid and they are bold. You know, and they don't have revelation and they don't have understanding. You know, so speaking in tongues is great. I'm not bashing it. It's great. But it's like ankle deep. What else then lies beyond that? Well, you got to go deeper to try to experience it. So he went from ankle deep to knee deep. It was another 1,000. There's some work involved too. You know, he had to traverse the water for that distance. You know, he wasn't standing in the same spot and the water was rising. No. He had to move in order to get to the next level. And then the next level. And the next level. And the next level. But there's movement involved. Now, so that's the depiction that I want to talk about. The depiction of we got to move. We God, in order to go to the next level. I mean, God doesn't, except for when you are in his presence, waiting for instruction. When you are on the journey, with something he wants you to do, he never wanted people to just stand somewhere and do nothing. He wanted to go forward. You know, in the epic story of the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt, and they got to the Red Sea, they thought they were trapped. But God said to them, go forward. And it was like, go forward to where? You know, I mean, the Red Sea is in front of us. Pharaoh is charging down behind us. And then you're telling us to go forward. Well, we'll go forward to where? But the Lord said, you got to go forward. See, that's the thing. And the Lord does not quite like it to just stand in one place. You know, the Lord said in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, why are you standing here crying unto me in the one place? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Well, for 2026, we got to go forward. 2025 is now in the rear view mirror. That's it. It's gone. There's nothing you can do about it. You cannot go back and relive any day of 2025. You know, it's not even the whole year, not even one moment that is past. You know, and not only when we cross over into a new year. This lesson must be with us every day. You can't go back to yesterday. Yesterday is gone. You know, so all you can do is glean some knowledge from yesterday. You cannot undo it. It's gone. You cannot leave that day over. It's already gone. You know, but most people are living in the past. You know, sometimes believing in the past and also always talking about the future too, but forgetting the moment. How do you live in the past? Well, people are constantly, you know, the eyes are always in that rear view mirror. That button is always on the rewind. I mean, a hand is always on the rewind button. Always constantly rewinding the thing and then reliving it. You can't do that. If you're going to rewind it, well, erase it and record over it new memories. That's it. Because it's gone. Can't do anything about it. You know, so take your finger off that rewind button, saith the Lord, and go forward. Because that's it. You know, the only things that the, you know, what lies behind good for is for us to remember the goodness of the Lord, how great things he has done, and to thank you for it. And if there were any challenges, well, let's learn from it, you know, so that we can, you know, accomplish greater successes. But you cannot be defined by your past. A lot of people allow their lives to be defined by their past. Past mistakes, past errors or whatever. And then the devil will never let them hear the end of it. But God wants you to go forward. And I often say to people, I say, what God wants from you now in this moment is what you are going to do next. See, that's always the thing. Now, that's a punchline for you today. What are you going to do next? Not what you did yesterday. Not what you did the year before. But what are you going to do next? Which is why the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him come unto the Lord, and the Lord will abundantly pardon. In this moment, right now, what are you going to do? You might have done some disobedience yesterday, but what are you going to do right now? Right in this moment. And Moses was running away from Egypt and so forth. He was trying to take, he became his, you know, social activist at one time against injustice and all and so on. He took the law into his hands, ended up killing one of the Egyptians. And when he was known, he had to run for years. And, you know, and there was a bounty on his head, you know, but when he met God face to face, it was not about what did you do? Why did you run away from Egypt? It was about what are you going to do next? God wants you now. Ha, glory to God. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, the next part of this today is to talk about horizons. You know, horizons. I do have something specific to tell you from the Lord, but I want to lay this background. First, we talked about levels. And the first level, spiritual levels that we must pursue. We dealt with that extensively last year, especially during the consecration. But now, let's talk about horizons. There's also what I call faith horizons. And, you know, what's the definition of an horizon? It's like, you know, if you're out there looking, it's like a line. It's an imaginary line, actually. There's no line there, but it looks like it. You know, it forms the, what appears to be the boundary of where the sky and the earth meet. It's called horizon. Well, it's not real. There's no real meeting of the sky and the earth, but it looks like it because of the curvature of the earth and also the curvature of the eyes, the way the things work. So it looks as if the sky and the earth meet. Now, there is a way that you can see a horizon that is farther out. In fact, there is a scientific formula for that. In other words, the higher you go off, you know, the farther out your horizon will be. What does that mean? Let me explain it to you without getting you know, too mathematical or too technical. If you are on a, say, you go to a high-rise building and there are no trees, no mountains, no houses, nothing in front of you, and it's all desert or something, you know. Or if you're in a watchtower, right, or control tower, they try to build those things at a higher level than sea level and put them where there will be a clear line of vision, no obstruction. And you look out. Well, mathematically speaking, you can look it up yourself. There is a formula for how far out you can see. And it's directly related to the height of where you are. That's right. You know, that's even science. It's not, you know, before we look at the spiritual application of it, it's science. You know, science is that the distance between where you are and the horizon that you can see, you know, there is a formula that says, you know, I'll just say it, but I'm not going to explain it, 1.22 times the square root of the height, you know, so, and measured, you know, in miles, for instance. So the higher you are, because there's a constant, but there's a variable in there. And the only variable in that formula is the height. And it's a multiplication, not a division. Multiplication increases. So whatever the height is, the higher you go, the farther out you can see. Now, let's take that to the spiritual level. The higher you go, how do you go higher spiritually? Well, we just talked about it. You cannot be satisfied with status quo. There was a man called Gideon. You know, he was not satisfied with status quo. The angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Wow, hey, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you," and so on. He looked around and said, "Mighty man of valor, who is he talking to? I don't see anybody here." I said, "Yeah, I'm talking to you." Said, "Well, I don't know about the Lord being with us. If the Lord is truly with us, where are those miracles that we used to hear, you know, about that he did for with our fathers?" That's somebody that wasn't satisfied with status quo. We're no longer seeing what we used to see, the power of God that we were told to us and all these things. But now, look at us. We're hiding from the Midianites, threshing, you know, corn, and they have to hide. You know, Midianites let them do all the labor, and they come and bully them and take it from them. And the Lord said, "Don't worry about it. You know, the Lord is with you nonetheless." And it doesn't look like that. And then the fire that was in him, the angel of the Lord said, "Wow, I can use that. Go in this thy might," told him. "I can use that." And he said, "But this man, Gideon, you know, he was not satisfied with the status quo. He knew, you know, that there could be more. I mean, if the Lord had promised great things, well, why are we not seeing those great things?" You know, that is what it means to not be satisfied with status quo. But a lot of people are satisfied. You know, just go on casually. There is no hunger. There is no thirst. There is no yearning for things. But when we do hunger and yearn, we are hungering and yearning only for physical things. I think we've dealt with that enough. Our hungering and our thirsting after the Lord, you know, should be for spiritual things, not just the carnal and physical things. Okay. So we have covered that. Okay. Now, someone that's not satisfied for status quo, Jesus promised, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, but they're not satisfied. They want more of God. He said, well, they will be filled is the promise that he gave. But they must be hungering and thirsting after God, not, you know, after, you know, something else. Not after what God can give, but after God himself. Now, I think we covered that sufficiently in the last couple of weeks. When God promises to give you himself, be sure that you understand what he's saying and don't turn it around to something else. I am Almighty God. I am thy shield, an exceeding great reward. Don't turn that to, but I don't have a child. See, you lose importance of what God wants to give you, which is himself. That's himself, not just give you things. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after God's righteousness, for they shall be filled. You hunger and thirst for the power of God, you'll be filled. Hunger and thirst for the things of God, you'll be filled. And let's be filled in 2026 with the righteousness of God and with the things of God. These other things, Jesus said, will be added. But back to the horizon thing. You know, the higher you go, the more you can see. Now, when you go even deeper in levels or higher in levels with the Lord, then your spiritual vision becomes even sharper and cleaner. Now, if you want to really try this horizon thing out, in your neighborhood, if you come out and look for the horizon, you can't even see it. Why? Because there's houses. You can't, you know, if I come right now, if I come out of my house, stand in front of my house, trying to look for the horizon, I can't see it. Because on the other side of the street, there are houses. So my house is not, you know, stand alone in the desert somewhere. So you see that when things are in your line of vision, you can't even see that horizon. You got to get up above those things that are blocking your vision. And this is important. When you get above them, then you can see something where, I mean, you can see straight ahead without anything blocking your vision. So if I had some means right now to rise higher than all the buildings in my neighborhood, maybe I could see the horizon, and maybe not. Because there may be some trees and some other things. You know, so if we really want to do it, you have to go out to somewhere where there's nothing blocking your view. Again, spiritually, that means something. There's a lot of things that block our vision. You know, a lot of things. Some of them are just fear, both spiritually and physically. Fear of the unknown, fear of stepping out. You know, can't step out of the boat. But you got to step out of the boat boldly in 2026. But you must keep your eye upon the Lord. In 2022, you know, I was sharing a message to the church that the Lord gave me on what we must do in the new year. Many things. One of them was, you know, take the shot. People thought I was talking about COVID shots. I said, no. So I had to explain. And I was using the basketball thing to explain it. So in basketball, you got the shot clock. 24. In professional basketball, 24 second shot clock. And the ball is in your hand. Shot clock is winding down. What do you do with the ball that's in your hand? Do you pass it? Because you're afraid that if you throw that shot up, and you're away at the end of the game now. Now, this is where I love the game of basketball. This is where the real stars shine. Some people live for that moment. They want the ball. They want, say, clear out and give me the ball. They may want to go one-on-one with anybody. They want the ball. In the dying moments, they want the ball in their hands. And if you are the coach, in whose hands are you going to put the ball in those dying seconds? Some people have that ball and they have an opportunity to put it up, put that shot up, but they are afraid. So instead of putting up the shot, they're going to pass up, pass the ball. And in the process of passing, somebody intercept the ball. And then they lose that opportunity, you know. But because they will say, look, suppose I take the shot and miss. Have the opportunity to win the goal. I mean, you're tied and you can take that three-pointer and that will just win. But you're thinking, if I take the shot and I miss, then I'll be a villain. Well, what about if you take the shot and you make it? Then you'll be the hero. That's the way I see it. Why think that you are going to miss the shot? See, and I said to the people, and I'm going to say it to you too, now, today, in 2026, I said this in 2022, I'm going to say it again to you here too. In 2026, every shot that you don't take or you pass up is a shot that you already missed. That's right. Yeah, because you say, well, how do I know I'm going to make it? Well, you'll never make it if you don't even try. See, that's it. You know, you put up that, but see, the heroes, they want that ball in that moment. They live for that moment. And when you put it in their hand, they may be falling out of bounds or whatever. They're going to put up that shot and there's going to be nothing but the bottom of the net. That's right. Because they have the confidence and they live for that moment. They're going to sink that net. But the fearful, in fact, there's a scripture in Revelation 21, verse 8, that say, the fearful and the abominable, they are not going to make it. In fact, they're going to have their lot with all the other, you know, stuff. That's a terrible place to be. Don't be fearful. One man said, well, I was afraid. That's why I buried my talent. It was the same fear that made the man that had the one talent to not do anything. He said, I was afraid, you know. When that ball is in your hand in 2026, put up that shot. Now, don't say, what if I make it? Well, what if I don't make it? Well, what if you make it? You know, praise the Lord. You know, so I love to think of things as, you know, in a positive dimension. You know, and well, I'll make the shot. I'm going to make the shot. You know, give me that ball. Give me that ball. I am going to make the shot. And clear out of my way. You know, praise the Lord, you know. So, you know, that's it. What are you going to do? The ball is in your hand. Well, you can say, well, I can't walk on water. And then you begin to sink. If you don't keep your eyes on the Lord, you got to step out of the boat confidently, but you keep your eyes on the Lord. See, the Lord's already fixed it. He knew that the ball is going to be in your hand. And the eye of the Lord will guide that. You see, just like David, he took that one stone and one sling and the angel of the Lord guided it. It was an arrow. Guided it straight into the one naked part of that guy that wasn't covered. He had helmets of iron and everything, brass all over his body, shields and things. And, you know, nothing could penetrate, but there was one spot in between his eyes. And the angel of the Lord guided that stone right there. If you take that shot, I am with you, saith the Lord. Glory to God. But you must take the shot. Your Red Sea, every moment you stand at the Red Sea, it's going to remain a Red Sea to you. In your Red Sea moments, unless you go forward. And when you move forward, going to open up, you know, but if you don't, it'll be just the same thing. You'll be there crying, you know, why'd you bring us here? And so whatever confronts you in 2026, you have this mentality. The Lord is with me. I can do all things. I can conquer this thing. I'm more than a conqueror. You know, you don't even give the devil a chance. Now listen, you know, you can conduct I conducted this experiment before. You take a glass of water, and I've asked people before, and fill the glass up to halfway. You know, so what do you see? The answers you get will be different. Some people see a glass that is half full. Other people see a glass that is half empty. Same thing. You're describing the same thing. But the people that see the house, the glass as half empty, are kind of maybe pessimistic. Because they think that the water level is diminishing. But somebody says, they have glasses half full. Maybe they think the water level is rising. They're looking at the same thing. Now, this is not just some motivational speech. This is the word of the Lord. God will bring things to the prophet. Say, what do you see? What do you see? Told ask Ezekiel. You know, he asked Jeremiah. What do you see? He asked the rest of them. Say, I see a basket of an almond tree. Well, what is it? You know, ask them. And then I'm going to show you something powerful that the Lord asked somebody, do you see? Concerning these horizons. Powerful stuff. In the book of Genesis, chapter 13, it's the word of the Lord. Remember the story of Abraham and his nephew, Lot. God called Abraham alone, but he took Lot along out of the kindness of his heart. And when they have, you know, they were all prospering, they had lots of servants and lots of things and so on. When it came to a time when there was argument between their companies, and it looked like the place was too strict for them, but Abraham said, look, there is really no need for us to be doing this. There's plenty of land. Let's spread out. And he called Lot. I said, look, you go first. Abraham was taking the high road. You go first. You choose. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. So Lot comes out. This Lot guy was crazy. You know, in my head, I mean, this is the man that brought you along. He's even your uncle, for crying out loud. Why didn't you just say, no. You are the man. You had the word. You just brought me along. You decide. Oh, he didn't do it. He was greedy. Okay. So he looked around and saw the plants that were green. You know, just see how his mind was functioning. Saw all the places that were green and looked good. He said, well, because, you know, they needed to feed their cattle, their ranching and all of that. So he figured the green land, the green pastures and so forth would be good for cattle. Well, what about Abraham? He didn't even think of him. And a lot of people are like this. Just think about themselves. So, I'll choose all this area that look green. Abraham, cool. So they split up. He went that direction. And Abraham was going to go in the other direction where there was parched land and nothing happening, you know. And then in Genesis 13 and verse 14, here's what the Lord said. Powerful stuff. He said, look, he told Abraham, I called him. Say, Abraham, come out here. I want to show you something. And so Abraham, he come out there and the Lord showed him. And he said that, you know, and this was after that Lot was departed from him, separated from him. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2026, God's calling you alone. There's some excess baggages that were carrying along before. It's not going to work. You know, the vision that God's put in your hand is for you. Now, when Abraham came, though, God told him, come out here, I want to show you. So he brought him out. And he showed him something. Now he's going to tell him something that is so powerful. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are. It's where you are today. What you think, you know, you are at a disadvantage because Lord took everything. Don't worry about it. But I want you to look at from where you are right now. Look northward, eastward, southward, westward, whatever. Just look around you, 360, for all the land that you see will I give to you and to thy seed forever. Now, for Abraham to see more, he had to get up higher. If there were bushes and trees in front of him, he couldn't see very far. You know, but maybe they were in a plain land. But I'd say the plains of memory and the plains of all these places. So he could really see far out. And the Lord told him, but it took him higher to show him. But here's the thing, Lord, is see more, get more. And that's it. The language for 2026. The same thing spiritually, the same thing physically. You got to visionize, you got that more. You know, there's a lot of visionary, you know, people. They see more, they think more. You know, they're not frustrated with just what's, and they're not held back with just what is, you know, obtains at the moment. They're thinking more. All the inventions, witty inventions and different things that we've had, it's because God has given us visionaries, you know. People, content creators and people that architects and people, designers and all these great people, you know, in their minds, engineers and so forth, that create things out of what God put in their mind, you know. They are visionaries. They see more and they go for it. God said, look, the more you see, more I will give you. Now, if you see only up to 1,000 cubits, well, that's all you get. If you see to 2,000 cubits, well, that's all you get. If you see to 3,000 cubits or 4,000 cubits or whatever. So the levels and horizons, they are connected. And so Abraham had to really visualize. And the scripture says, you know, God is able, unto him that is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, you know. The scripture gives us that, Ephesians 3:20. And we quote it all the time. But let me tell you the part that you don't quote. The part that you don't quote, we always say, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, that part we quote, you know. And that's a good one too, because if you can think it, God can exceed it. If you can ask it, God can exceed it. But it is according to the power that worketh in you. See, you are limited by the level of your faith horizon. You cannot get more, let alone more abundantly and exceeding than what you can see and believe God for. Now, I'll tell you something about faith though. You know, that's why I call it faith horizons. You know, horizon can also be described as the limit or the range of perception, the limit or range of knowledge, the limit or range of understanding or expectation and revelation. That's horizon. The range of one's vision and be horizon. So when I talk of faith horizon, so how far can your faith believe? You know, now faith can see things that are even not there. That's right. That's how God did it. Now, I've told you in the past that God really, to him, it wasn't faith though. But you're looking at it, it's kind of parallel faith. God didn't need faith because he had complete foreknowledge of all things. So whereas we don't have foreknowledge, we have to have faith. So faith, if you have powerful faith, it can almost approximate God's foreknowledge. Because by faith, you can see what God already sees, even though you don't see it. You know, so faith sees as now those things that are even not yet there. Hallelujah. God said, I mean, Romans 14 and 17, he called those things that are not as though they already are. We, but in God's mind, you already seen that. We can do the same thing. You know, by faith, you can see new horizons ahead.
Against all odds,
Abraham believed God. Now, faith sees, faith believes, and rejoices in God's ability to perform his promises. So, but it's according to the power that worketh in you. That's the power, that's the faith. What you can believe for, what you can see, what you can understand. And it, all these things work with understanding. They work with revelation, you know. I've always given the illustration of little kids. Little kids say, ask me anything. The little kid will ask you a quarter because maybe that's what you've been giving them for their allowance. So every time they're good, you give them a quarter. And so next time you ask him to ask you something, you ask for a quarter. Well, that's all he can. That's the extent of his horizon. You don't even know anything exists, you know, exists beyond a quarter. Someday he's going to find out that, oh, there's actually more than a quarter. Maybe he'll ask for two quarters. But see, he's still limited in scope, you know, his understanding. He's limited. Yeah, he asked for two quarters. Okay. Finally, eventually he realizes, my goodness, I can actually ask for a dollar. Then he asks for a dollar. He'll get it. And why does he ask? He trusts in the ability, and my kids do that, my grandkids. They know that grandpa can give them a dollar. They come, can I have a dollar? You know, and I love it when they say that. Because thank God they have not figured out to ask for $100. All they have figured out is a dollar. And they know, grandpa can give me a dollar. So come, give me a dollar. I say, okay, come and give them a dollar. You know, the day comes, grandpa, you better be careful now. One day, I might ask you for $100, you know, or even 1,000. Now you see, but the thing is that God's capacity, quite unlike grandpa, and grandpa is limited in what he can give them. God's capacity is not limited. You can ask anything. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Glory to God. You know, but sometimes we just can't because you don't have understanding. You don't even have the capacity to understand it. Your horizon is limited. To people, sometimes I play a game with my kids. I say, count some numbers. And I am the grandkids, and they count. I say, counting fives or counting this. And they come to my room, my office, and then we start counting. And they count for so long, and then they stop. I say, why you stop? Because they can't comprehend any more numbers. They just stop. I say, why do you stop? So I help them a little bit, and I show them some tricks of how to count more. I say, oh, then they count more. See, they need to get a little understanding to know that there is more numbers behind where they stopped. Just think about that. It's according to the power that worketh in you. You know, you can only believe God. And that's why God told Abraham, whatever you can see, but you got to see it. See more to get more from the Lord. You got to visualize it. You know, so in 2026, here's the word of the Lord for you. In the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 54, the Lord will tell you what you must do. Glory to God. Now, this is not for everybody. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible, but it's not always for everybody. But it's there for everybody. But again, it's not for everybody. That's the mystery of God's word. It's out there for everybody, but then it's not for everybody. Because not everybody will take it and run with it. You know, but if I'm speaking to you, or the Lord is speaking to you, here's what he says. You know, he says, for you in this year, though, here's what he said. I want to read the first few verses. Sing! He said, O barren. That means you're not producing. Your life is not producing. It's only about children. You know, your life is not producing. You know. Remember, fruitfulness and production was the first word. It was one of the first words out of the mouth of God to the man when the man was created. That was the first thing that God said, be fruitful and multiply. You know, so that was the first thing. I don't know, you can call it a commandment. You can call it a benediction. You can call it a blessing. Call it whatever. But those were the first words out of the mouth of God to the man. And so when we are not fruitful, in other words, your life is stagnant. You know, the same way all the time. Well, You got to go back and re-engage the word that said, be fruitful and multiply. You know, so it's in everything. It's in bearing children. It's in bearing fruit. You know, Jesus even told a powerful, powerful illustration in the book of John 15. In the first 10 or 12 verses, it's all about this. It's so powerful. He said, look, I am the branch. I am the vine. You are the branches. My husband and my father is the husbandman. Every branch in me. That's right. Now, these branches were already in him. It's not like they're not just some random branch somewhere that wasn't in him. Now, he's talking about branches that were already in him. Were not producing. That's right. I am the true vine. And my father is the husbandman. In other words, the vine dresser. Every branch in me, there beareth not fruit. That's the first one he was going to address. That's so important to me. You are in Christ, you are not bearing fruit. Your life is just stagnant. He said, well, my father will take away. That's right. But every branch in me, they are bearing fruit, he will purge it so that he can bring forth even more fruit. So fruitfulness is so important with the Lord. Fruitfulness in everything. Now, the reason why the unfruitful branch is taken away is not because he did something wrong. It's because he didn't do anything. So let's take note of that. Wasn't doing anything. He wasn't producing. So because he wasn't producing, and let's say, well, why compromise the ground? Take it away. You know, so, and Jesus told them a lot of things. Now, he said, but for you though, who are bringing forth fruit, my Father is going to help you to bring forth more fruit. He will take away, cut down the excesses and so on and so forth, show you how to get around your errors and different things so that you can be better at it, you know, and you will be more productive. But if you are not producing in the first place, then he has nothing to work with. But if you are producing, then he always has something to work with. What is in your hand, saith the Lord? He always has something to work with. Give him what it is. It can be five loaves and two fishes, or two loaves or five fishes, whatever. You know, it can be little, but it's enough when you put it in God's hand. But if you give him nothing to work with, well, you'll be like the one that said, well, I buried my talent because I was afraid. And so don't be like that. Do something with what you already got. And he that is doing something, Jesus promised, my Father will help him to do even more. Praise the Lord. Now, fruitfulness cuts across, you know, many levels. Fruitfulness in our lives, fruitfulness in the things of the ministry, fruitfulness in being an effective witness and bringing souls to the Lord, fruitfulness in bearing the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I mean, if we are dealing with the same stubborn, disobedient mind all the time, then we're not being fruitful. And the Lord has been correcting you about something for a long time, and you're still obstinate. Well, that's not being fruitful. By now, you should be producing the fruits of obedience and repentance and all of these things. You know, when John the Baptist said, look, bring forth fruits of righteousness, you know. Because there were people who were calling to him to be baptized. They said, you are baptized. You want to be baptized. You vipers of generation of vipers and serpents and so forth. He said, well, if you think you want to be baptized, then better bring forth fruits of obedience and fruits unto righteousness. So we got to be fruitful in many ways. So that's fruitfulness. Now, let's go back to the word of the Lord in Isaiah 54. So when we're barren, it's not just for children. We're barren in the things of the Lord. We're just barren and unfruitful. You know, here's something before I go back to that. You know, let me read to you, something that, when Peter was saying, besides all these, give all diligence to add to your faith and so forth. Let me read to you in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting from about verse 5. Besides all this, give all diligence, add to your faith. So this is add. You must always add. See, you started out by believing God, which is your faith. That's good. But you must add things on top of it. Add to your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, kindness. I mean, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, listen to this. They make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there can be barrenness and unfruitfulness in the things of God. It's not just about children. And children too, but not just that. You know, people who are lacking these things will be barren in the knowledge of God. So spiritual maturity, spiritual production demands that you add to what you already got. When you start, you keep adding. Lord showed me a parable one day. He said, parable, kingdom of God is like this. looking. And what was it? And I've told this a few times here. You know, you have to climb this ladder. It's like a complex ladder. And at first, I didn't know it. All I saw was the first set of flights. Some ladder, steps. It was actually steps. It wasn't ladder. It was like steps. And I have some in my house. But in my house, there's only one landing. You climb about 8 or so steps. There's a landing. And then the staircase switches this way. And then you climb another 5 or so steps. And you're at the top. So, but you are standing at the bottom. All you see is the first landing. Oh, so you walk up there. When you get to each landing, you got to pick up something. It's like a jewel. You put up a jewel, you put in your crown. And then you say, thank God I'm all right. And I said, no, look up. And then you look and say, oh my goodness. And then there is yet another set of flights you got to climb. See? And when you climb it, as you are climbing, you drop something. All the things that you are picking up. And the Lord said, no, you got to go back and get it. See? And that's spiritual. I was explaining spiritual maturity and spiritual growth to me. You cannot drop anything. You got to keep adding. Some of us, when we're looking for mysteries, we drop the basic principles of the kingdom of God. Love thy neighbor. Forgive. All these things. These are the basic things. Now we're looking for some mysteries. You know, so you got to carry these things along. It's a deep, deep knowledge from God. Spiritual maturity is to add and add and add. Can't drop anything. If you drop it, you got to go back and get it. That's the reason why some of us are not making progress. Because you always got to go back and get it. And that's the reason why sometimes we go through some things, some difficult, challenging tests more than once. If you didn't learn, you're supposed to get out of it. It's going to happen to you again. You know? And again, you figure it out. You know, so we got to learn. We got to move ahead. Now, unfruitfulness in the things of God. Barrenness, because we're not producing. We're in the same place where you've been for years. That's it. You speak with tongues, but there's nothing else going on in our lives. We're not getting deeper with God. We don't know the things of God. We don't understand God. Look, there's power, you know, in understanding. It's so critical. God made the children of Isaac, we call them men of understanding. They understood, you know, the seasons, they understood the times, and so forth. And because they understood, the Bible says, understanding that they had, well, actually gave them an advantage. Oh, understanding, not, it wasn't, you know, just learning and things, you know, natural, you know, no, they spent time to get spiritual understanding. Praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles 12:32. And the children of Isaac are men of understanding and understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. So how do you walk with God? They had understanding of it. Wasn't just the other kind of knowledge. and they were heads among their brethren. This knowledge that they had gave them an advantage over others, you know. And their brethren were at their commandment because they had understanding. Now, get understanding. Bible says, you know, with all that getting, get understanding. If you get understanding, it's going to give you an advantage in 2026. Then the Lord says, don't be barren. You need to get understanding of what that barrenness is. And now that you have that understanding, well, let's see the promises, the word of the Lord unto you out of Isaiah 54. Break forth into singing, he said. Cry aloud that even thou that is not travail with Jah, for more are the children of the desolate and the married wife, said the Lord. Now, enlarge the place of your tent. And that's vision. Let them spread forth the curtains of your habitations. Span up, lengthen that cause. That's why I say it's not for everybody. But, you know, some people will catch it. And strengthen thy stakes. Why? For thou shalt break forth with no limits. You're going to break forth on the right and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. And so on and so forth. Now, here's what the Lord says. In the book of Isaiah chapter 63, I want to read this to you as well. Something that's in the mind of the Lord to do, to dish out this year, both to the wicked that are forsaken the Lord, and also to his people. I'm going to read it to you out of this Isaiah 63. And the Lord calls it out this way. You know, the Lord is going to recompense the wicked, and he's also going to remember his children. Praise the Lord. Now, how does he say? He said, well, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, saith the Lord. This is Isaiah chapter 63, verse 4. And the year of my redeemed has come. Glory to God. So let me call it out for you. 2026, a few days ago when we were in the consecration, the Lord told me something. And didn't give me many words. Just said a word. He said, it'll be the year of my redeemed. I said, I think I've seen that somewhere in the scriptures. So I went and looked it up. Yeah. So this will be your year. Now he's going to deal with the wicked too, you know. But for you, this will be your year. What does that mean? Well, that means, well, there have been things that you thought were out of reach, you know, but they're not out of reach because the Lord is going to enable you. Holy Spirit is a great enabler. He comes to us with inspiration. He's going to come to you with inspiration in 2026. Job chapter 32 verse 8 says, you know, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's not by age, it's not by this, but there is a spirit within man and the inspiration of the Almighty. So we're going to give you understanding. God's inspiration will be with you like never before for 2026. But you got to see more visionarily wise. You got to visualize more to get more. You got to enlarge your thoughts. You got to launch out into the deep. Even as Jesus told Peter. Well, because if you stay where Peter actually gave up, he said, well, you know, been doing that, been trying that, it's not working. So packed in the nets and ready to give up. And in Luke chapter 5 verse 4, Jesus said, no. Do it again. But this time, I'm going to tell you how to do it. But you must launch out into the deep. You cannot stay here in the bank of the river with your nets washed and thrown away. No. Get back out there. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And let your nets down for a draught. And Peter started to say, well, master, we've toiled all night and taking nothing and so forth. And no, no. But the nevertheless moment. Ladies and gentlemen, you must have those nevertheless moments throughout this year. When the enemy will remind you of your failures, when your mind will tell you that you tried that last year, that didn't work, you know, whatever, you know, but then you remember the word of the Lord. See, the word of the Lord is what changes everything. You know, that's what changes everything. The word of the Lord carries the capacity to create change. When Jesus spoke that word to Peter, it created the change necessary. Now, the fish were not biting. Peter was a skilled fisherman. That's what he did for a living and his friends. They knew when to fish. They knew where to fish. They knew which side of the boat to put things in. But they caught nothing. Master would show them though. The moment that Jesus spoke that word, the fish heard the word wherever they were. And they're coming to where Jesus sent Peter. That's it. The power in the word of Jesus created the change that was necessary to bring in, you know, a great harvesting of fish for Peter. But you got to separate. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, the word of God separates between the soul and the spirit. The soul tells you, you can't do that. Makes you afraid. Wow, we've done that all night long. We didn't catch anything. But nevertheless, the nevertheless moment comes from the word of God. Separate those two things apart. The spirit says, I believe his word. Sirs, I believe God. You step out by faith. Now, enlarge the place of your tent. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes and so forth. Or y'all shall break forth on the left and on the right. Now, that's our lesson for you. That's the word of the Lord unto you. The Lord said, tell my people, you know, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord in all things, spiritual, material, physical, otherwise. And see what the Lord will do for you today. Believe. See more, get more. You know, go for deeper levels with the Lord. Same thing with our walk with God. You can't be satisfied. Enoch was not satisfied with the status quo. You know, I cannot never preach any of these type messages without mentioning Enoch. Because he's the man that we pattern this house under or around. Walking with God was the first one. I walk with God like that. And he was not satisfied because Adam told him, son, you cannot go back in there. He said, well, why not? You know how children ask 20 questions. He said, well, because this and this. And I say, well, why not? And he tells someone, I say, well, why not? And he tells someone, I say, why not? So finally, Adam said, look, I told you already. See those cherubims over there? And say, whatever, with the flaming sword, they're keeping the way of the tree of life. We can't go back in there. Well, but what happens if you get there? Well, you can't. So this man would not be stopped by you can't do it. You know, that's what walking with God is all about. And he figured out a way. I can't get in there that physically. Or I'm going to get in there somehow. Either or what's in there is coming to me. I'm going to figure it out. And I'm going to get it. And I'm saying, well, sorry. He said, we're going to die. I said, well, but you're not dead yet. He said, well, yeah, but we're waiting to that. I said, well, I will see about that. You know, and Enoch did not join those who were waiting to die. You know, he sought after the Lord. Just sought after the Lord. And sought after the Lord. And guess what? Found something that he wasn't even expecting. You know, and it was not because God took him. Father, I pray over this room today. Let there be knowledge and understanding in the minds of your people. We say a few words, but the Holy Spirit can take it and expand even beyond what we say. Paul said, I speak as unto wise men. Do you understand what I say? He said, yeah. Jesus himself asked, you now have understanding? He said, yeah, Lord. You know, so I pray, Lord, that understanding come in the hearts of God's people of what the Lord is saying. We got to go deeper with the Lord this year. We got to go higher. And we got to believe for more. And you got to take the shot. The opportunities that present themselves to us. Go for it, said the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to go forward. Got to go forward. Got to go forward. If you don't, you think you can't make it, then you will not make it. For as you speak in my ears, said the Lord, even so will I do unto you. But if you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then you can and you will. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for 2025. It's now in the rear view mirror. But rather than looking back all the time, in fact, if you keep your eyes on the rear view mirror the whole time, you're likely to crash. You glance over to see the rear view mirror occasionally, but you must keep your eyes on the road ahead of you. So keep your eyes this year on the road ahead of you, and the Lord will help us all. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.